This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Another grim reminder of the perils of trying to escape the Middle East right now. Dozens have been killed, 75 passengers on board a ship that capsized in the Mediterranean, all of them refugees from the Middle East. It comes at a time when the enthusiasm for accepting migrants seems to be in flux in Europe. Sweden, Finland, and Germany have all issued conflicting statements on their refugee policies. How do you create a temporary place for people who have no idea if they can ever return home? Elizabeth Collett is director of the Migration Policy Institute Europe, says that as the weather warms up, European governments are preparing for another influx of refugees.
There's enormous pressure on governments to demonstrate first that they can manage the chaotic flows that we've seen through the Western Balkans, and that second, that they are managing credible asylum systems, that this is not a free-for-all for people arriving, but those in need of protection will be given protection, and those found not in need of protection will be sent home, that there are consequences. And so you're seeing an increasing number of statements being made by politicians and in Brussels and the capitals to say, you know, we will manage this issue, we will put in place rules to ensure that this isn't open-ended, because I think many people are frightened not of the number that have arrived, but of the unknown numbers that may come.
It seems as though each nation is trying to demonstrate its credibility by enforcing deportation, that apparently the strongest signal is we're deporting people, therefore it's not an open-ended kind of a system. But I'm wondering what that means in humanitarian terms.
Sure. I mean, I think that there has been some sort of misunderstanding of what was said specifically by the Swedish ministry over the weekend about deporting up to 80,000 people. Sweden is still very much concerned about protecting those individuals who need protecting. What they're talking about is once people have gone through that asylum process, once they've had their claim adjudicated and found not in need of protection, then the Swedish are very keen to see that those people are returned home to demonstrate that it's not an open-ended system. But, you know, the challenge, I think, for Europeans is that there are many people who do not necessarily meet the legal criteria for refugee protection or subsidiary protection, but are still very vulnerable people, people coming from regions of instability. And the various motivations that are driving people to come to Europe are so mixed. But returning people back into those vulnerable situations isn't necessarily the solution. So it is going to be very difficult, I think, for member states. They can say they'll be able to deport people, but one, will they be able to actually affect that? And what will be the long-term consequences of that on the individuals who are returned home?
In terms of asylum law in various European countries, if you land in Turkey and get put in a tent and you're in a safe, if not terribly attractive, place to live, does that mean you're no longer in danger and therefore cannot apply for asylum?
You know, the hope is that people, once they've reached the first country of asylum and have some modicum of protection, that they will be able to stay there until one would hope it would be safe to return home. The challenge has been the fact that once people are displaced, the opportunities for them to return home are not great, but the opportunities to then restart their lives in these first countries of asylum are also very limited. So Syria and Lebanon are dealing with huge numbers of people, and their public services can't cope. These people don't have access to the labour market or education, so they want to come move on to a different location because the opportunity to live a life isn't there.
And the 36 dead in the latest maritime disaster here involving passengers from the Middle East, is that going to change anything?
Well, speaking as someone who's watched this for many, many years, this is a long-standing phenomenon of maritime migration, and not just across the Mediterranean, but at different points across the world. You know, none of the drivers that are impelling people to reach Europe are diminishing. As we move into 2016, you may see other smuggling routes opening up, including a resumption of the much more dangerous route across the central Mediterranean from Libya to Italy. So I would hope that the mortality rate would be lower if there was intense search and rescue. But I think, you know, this is something that we will become used to seeing in our newspapers.
Elizabeth Collett is director of the Migration Policy Institute in Europe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.